The Washington Post published a new column today, the final column from Jamal Khashoggi, the prominent Saudi journalist who Turkish officials say was murdered and dismembered by a Saudi hit squad. The column was written earlier this month, and the Post editor said she was hoping to edit it with Khashoggi, but that she, quote, has to accept that is not going to happen. Here's Nick Schifrin.
Jamal Khashoggi's editor wrote today that his final column captures his passion for freedom in the Arab world, a freedom he apparently gave his life for. Khashoggi writes that because of government repression, Arabs are, quote, either uninformed or misinformed. A state-run narrative dominates the public psyche. And while many do not believe it, a majority of the population falls victim to this false narrative. His solution? A Middle East version of Radio Free Europe. Quote, through the creation of an independent international forum, isolated from the influence of national governments spreading hate through propaganda, ordinary people in the Arab world would be able to address the structural problems their societies face. To talk about this, I'm joined by Hisham Mellem, a longtime columnist who worked for Saudi-backed Al Arabiya and is now a columnist for the Lebanese daily newspaper, Anahar. He is a fellow at the Arab Gulf States Institute in Washington, and welcome back to the NewsHour.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Coming back home.
Jamal Khashoggi, how unique was he and what was special about his voice?
First, he was very prominent. I mean, there are Saudi dissidents in London as far away as Australia, but he was the only one who had this incredible platform called the Washington Post, which published his columns in English as well as in Arabic. He had many friends in Washington. People knew him in his previous life, as I knew him, as the son of the political system of Saudi Arabia, being the representative or the spokesperson of the Saudi ambassador in Washington like 10 years ago, Prince Turki Faisal.
But he became a critic.
Then he became a critic. But because he knows the inside, that was one reason. The other thing is, this is the first high-profile international journalist to be killed in the era of mass media, not only mass media, social media, the internet, and all that. Millions of people, like you and me, saw Jamal walk into his death. Millions of people are reading his last column, as you just did. So all of these things, and then you have a very thin-skinned ruler in Saudi Arabia, who is very impetuous, he's very flippant, he's very reckless, as we've seen in his war in Yemen, the way he arrested people, kidnapping Lebanese prime minister.
You're referring to Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman,
yes.
But let me ask about Jamal Khashoggi's last column. He writes that a state-run narrative dominates public psyche in the region. Is that right?
This has been the case for decades. Arab governments use their own control of the media, or they intimidate media that is somewhat independent in those few societies where we have a limited space for free expression. We call them partially free societies. The real question is, how can you have free media in unfree societies?
Well, Ken, that was one of his solutions. Can you have free media?
No.
And can it change if you have some kind of international or transnational media, kind of like Radio Free Europe from the Middle East?
I'm old enough to remember attempts in the past by people to publish, that's not necessarily radio, but like an international, an Arab version of the International Herald Tribune, to be published in Europe. Where you can have free expression, but these attempts faced financial problems and political problems. After the Lebanese Civil War, 1975-76, some people moved to London and Paris, and people felt, well, now we will be freer. But you couldn't be freer because you have to sell in the Arab world, and so you are always under the control of local authorities.
But you've got new tech.
Radio Free Europe, like we did in the past with the Soviet Union, Free Europe. Is extremely important because it's difficult for governments to control it. Right. But nowadays, the government also is using the blogosphere to intimidate Arab journalists. So we felt at one time, well, with the internet, blogosphere, social media, we can have that limited space for freedom. But governments now are using it to antagonize and to intimidate their critics.
But quickly, was he onto something? I mean, can something like that allow critics to have that conversation and get around governments?
We are not having that kind of conversation now. Most media in the Arab world are either controlled by the Saudis or the Qataris. okay? The Egyptians are very friendly to the Saudis. So it's extremely difficult to have a public, serious debate about what the Arab governments are doing. Every week that passes by, we lose journalists either in jail or assassinated.
So very quickly, is the solution perhaps not free media, but pressure from the West, pressure from the United States? We saw Steve Mnuchin cancel his trip to the Saudi Davos in the desert. Can that help?
That helps. Look, they all look at the West, especially the allies, Egyptians, Saudis, all Gulfies. And the criticism from the United States is extremely important. I heard an Arab diplomat telling me when I inquired about the fate of a scholar who was imprisoned. And he said, you know, Donald Trump is not going to pick up the phone and inquire with our leaders about the fate of this scholar. That tells you everything you want to know. If there is no pressure from the West, they will do things with impunity, the way Putin does things with impunity, and or Kim Jong-un or whatever. We have to remember that we have to fight for these things. I mean, Jamal is the last in a long, long trail of Arab journalists, writers, scholars, artists who were killed by their own governments in their homeland as well as overseas. And the only, I mean, I lost two of my friends in 2005. My editor was killed. And so if there is no pressure from the West, we have to fight our own fight. They have to fight their own fight, but there has to be a pressure from the West. And the President of the United States, unfortunately, downplayed Jamal's disappearance for 2 weeks.
All right, we'll have to leave it there. Hesham Mellem, thank you very much.
Thank you.